Is the sin in your life reprehensible? Or have you simply come to the place where you now regard it? Are you supplying your heart and mind with ample amounts of water from the Word? Or have you succumbed to worldly philosophy and living by your own wits? The water of the Word will keep you soft. It'll cleanse you from all your impurities. And it is used by the Lord to mold you into His likeness. Water at times is used in Scripture as a reference to the Word of God itself. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, it speaks of the washing of the Word. We must spend time daily in God's Word. This isn't optional. It's a necessity. It's not a luxury. It is vital if the Lord is to have His way with us. This Bible is God's cleansing agent. It tells us what is right, where we are wrong, how to get right, and how to stay right. It is a mirror that reveals our imperfections, a sword that discerns our thoughts and intents of our hearts, and by it we are changed from glory to glory. It'll clean us up. It'll straighten us out. And it'll give us a sound heart within. So ask yourself, is your heart clean today? Have you allowed the Word to change you, cleanse you, soften the clay of your heart and mind? Are you living a clean, separated life? Is His will that is found in the Word of God good, acceptable, and perfect for you? Are you keeping yourself in the hands of the potter? Is He still able to work on you, shape you, mold you, remove those imperfections in your life as He sees fit? Are you one who can honestly sing? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. If you are, then you're like the vessel in Jeremiah chapter 18. Even though it was marred, even though it was not perfect, it was able to be made again into what God designed for it. And that was something useful and something valuable. I can see Jeremiah walking away from the potter's house as he witnessed a living illustration of a great truth. And that is, the Lord desires a clean, useful people. But that will only result when the impurities of our life are removed and our body, our mind, and our spirit yield to the pressure that God places upon us to do His will and not our own. Well, what if you insist living your life on your terms? Being one who's large and in charge. Doing your own thing and having your own way. Well, you're more like the vessel in Jeremiah chapter 19. And the day will come when you will realize the way of the transgressor is hard. Because you'll be hardened, brittle, and you'll become breakable. You may be thinking, how did I ever get in this condition? What has happened to me? There used to be a time when, like Paul, I cried out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I, as a new believer, wanted to live a life that pleased you, Lord. But things that have taken place in my life now have hardened me. Could it be you simply drifted slowly from Him? You got backslidden? And you're following afar off? Maybe you no longer start your day by communing with God and His Word and in prayer. Your business and the things of this life have crowded out the desire for the things of God. And the cares of this world has caused you to be unfruitful. You started living for the temporal and not for the eternal. You've taken your eyes off the flawless Lord and you've put them on flawed people. Or maybe the trials that God allowed you to experience has made you bitter instead of better. He meant them for our good. But instead of you receiving them as such, you question God's love for you. And you prove the devil's accusations to be true, just like when he tried to get Job to curse God and die. If I met just one believer who questioned God's goodness to them, it would be one too many. Trials are to make us. And if believe that God always has our best interest in mind, and He does, and they are blessings in disguise, and they are, we'd come forth from them a vessel more useful for the Master. Our attitude in the trial will determine its outcome. Listen to what Peter has written in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange. Did you see that? Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. And when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory in God resteth upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. Trials are no time to get brittle. For suffering times are teaching times, by which we are profited by them greatly. So don't be hardened by them. Be happy in them. God is making you a vessel that seems good to Him. So don't get brittle. Some believers allow their heart to become hardened to the things of God over time. It has been so long that they have been close to Him and living their life to please Him that they have gotten used to the life that they are now living. They no longer allow the Lord to have His way with them. And furthermore, they are unwilling to place themselves in the hand of the potter and surrender to Him. Now, those who have surrendered some can identify somewhat with them. For we too have hardened our hearts to some of the things of God as well. And when the preacher addresses those things, or we read of them in the Bible, it's like water off a duck's back to us, and we no longer have ears to hear, our hearts are no longer willing to receive that truth, and we don't want the potter to work on us in certain areas that are not to our liking. Listen, our options are limited. We could be the kind of clay that the potter can mold and use, or we can get to the place in our life where God has no choice but to break us and to the point where we can't be made whole again. So much of our hardness is due to uncleanness. And I'm speaking about sin that is in our lives. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 29 through 33, we see things that are unclean. And what happens when they find themselves in an earthen vessel? Listen to what it says. These also shall be unclean unto you among creeping things that creep upon the earth. The weasel and the mouse and the tortoise after his kind, and the ferret and the chameleon and the lizard and the snail and the mole. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them when they be dead shall be unclean until the even. And upon whatsoever any of them, when they are dead, doth fall, it shall be unclean. Whether it be any vessel of wood, or raiment, or skin, or sack, whatsoever vessel it be, wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the evening, so it shall be cleansed. And every earthen vessel, whereunto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it, shall be unclean. And ye shall break it. Even a vessel that was filled with something good can come into contact with that which is unclean and cause everything in it to be unclean, and that earthen vessel then has to be broken. You see, just a little sin in our lives can contaminate our whole life. And like the earthen vessel, then it has to be broken. But being broken doesn't mean God can never use you again or that He can never bless you anymore. Jeremiah 19:11 says, that which is broken can't be made whole again. Have you ever seen something made of ceramic break? Perhaps you had some piece of ceramic that was valuable. You know, there's all kinds of valuable ceramic things. And you know what? It fell. And it broke apart. And you know what? Maybe it was not broken so bad, but then you decided, you know what? At least I can glue it again. And I can put it back together. Now, is that ever made whole again? Could it ever be as strong as it once was? No. Clay often breaks due to a fall. And depending on how great the fall was, determines how many broken pieces there are. Sometimes things just can't be salvaged. But such is not the case with any of God's people. God can break us, and He can put us back together. And though we may never be the same again, we can still be useful to Him. We may miss out on His perfect will for us, but that doesn't mean that there's nothing that we can do for God and that there is a service we can still render unto Him. You may not be used as God as greatly as you were before, but just because you're broken doesn't mean that you can't be used at all. I'm thinking of a man who had, by all accounts, grew up in a godly home. He was one who was a leader. He had God's power on his life. But you know what? He had lust for women. And that sin led him farther than he wanted to go, and it cost him more than he wanted to pay. His sin was binding. It was blinding. And it belittled him. And he became the source of evil banter as his enemies beheld him. He became broken. He never would be whole again. He forfeited a life that could have been used by the Lord in such a way that we would place him amongst the greatest men ever to dwell on the earth. All he could do as his time was up was pray. And pray he did. God heard. God answered. As he died with the heathen. His tragic end was a result of sin. And while this man no doubt had plenty of opportunity to think about what God could have done with him, this broken vessel slew more the enemies of God in his death than he did in his life. I'm talking about Samson. And just because he wasn't ever going to be whole again did not mean that God was done with him and could not use him again. I don't want any one of us to have to live a life of regrets and to have to be broken. But if you're in such a place, let the potter pick up the pieces. He isn't done with you yet. You still can be useful and valuable to him. For others, keep yourself pliable. Make sure you keep your heart and mind saturated with Scripture. Allow the potter to make you a vessel as it seems good to Him. Keep yourself clean. Be fully surrendered so you can bring glory and honor unto the one who holds you in His hands. The one who is working on you to make you more useful, making you a vessel for the finer. Be pliable. Do not harden yourself against the potter. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.